The title of this evening's message is Experiencing the Holy Spirit, Part 2. Last week, I closed with a suggestion that you talk to the Holy Spirit and see if there's anything that He might want you to do. What I was suggesting was that you spend some time in prayer worshiping the Holy Spirit, glorifying the Spirit, and obeying the Spirit. Many people pray to God for the things that they think they need. Many people pray to Jesus for their needs. But how many people pray to the Spirit for the things that they think they need? The Spirit is part of the Trinity of the Godhead. The Spirit is as much God as Jesus is. You talk to Jesus, why not talk to the Holy Spirit? The reason that I ask this question is the most of what we do in the way of serving God involves the Holy Spirit. God is our Heavenly Father. He is in heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He also is in heaven. So the person that we are involved with here on earth is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the one that leads and directs us in this life. Since He is God, He knows God's will for us, and He can help us to know, understand, and do what God wants us to do. Now, I broke the will of God down into three parts: to know, to understand, and to do. It's possible that you know the will of God, but don't understand His will. And we might think that we don't have the ability to do what God wants. That is where the Spirit's workings begin. Not only does He know God's will, but since He is God, He has been sent to us to help us understand God's will. He also is the power of God upon us and in us to comply with God's will. The longer that you live, the more you're going to come to understand and to know about the Holy Spirit. He is here to be our help. Let's look at the promise that Jesus made to His disciples. John 14, 15 through 18. John 14, 15 through 18. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty straightforward. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, this was a promise that Jesus made to His disciples, that the Spirit will be with us. And when He made that promise, the Spirit was with them. But it wasn't until later that He became a part of them. When we trust Jesus, we become part of the body of Christ through the workings of the Holy Spirit. We are no longer in control of our lives like the Holy Spirit wants to be if we let Him be in control of our life. Let me say that again. Once we are saved, we no longer have a right to control our lives. We belong to Jesus. And there's the rub. We have our own desires and our own way that we appetites and things that we want to do. And sometimes that's not according to God's will. Remember, the Holy Spirit is God, and He knows the will. And most of the time, it's a matter of pride. Have you ever said, I'm not going to let Him tell me what to do? Because of our pride, we think that we know so much more about what is good for our lives than God does. I have found myself praying at times, trying to tell God how to fix a situation. Let's look for a minute at what the Holy Spirit is capable of. The passage is the same one that tells us about the seven spirits of God. We find it in Isaiah 11:2, several references in the book of Revelation to the seven spirits of God. But I want us to use Isaiah 11:2 as a jumping off point. And Isaiah 11:2 tells us this, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." I'm trying to keep this simple because I can't see the reaction on your faces and can't tell if I'm getting ahead of you or causing confusion. When I can see you, I can determine if I'm getting my point across. With the internet, I can't tell. Look at the verse in Isaiah 11. This is a description of our Heavenly Father's attributes. And this is also a description of the attributes of Jesus Christ. And this is also a summary of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Just think about it. The Holy Spirit is living in you if you have believed on Jesus. And so all of these things are in you. Wisdom, which of us doesn't need wisdom? Understanding, who doesn't want to understand a situation correctly? Counsel, which of us doesn't need good counsel from time to time? Might, who doesn't want or need the power of God working in our lives? And then there is knowledge. I realize that there are people out there who think they know everything, but they might be wrong. The Spirit brings absolute knowledge with him when he indwells us. We have it inside of us. We just have to be able to get to it. And finally, the proper understanding of the fear of the Lord. We have to have that to be obedient and successful. This may seem like a lot to take in, and it is. But this is what the Spirit brings to our hearts when he indwells us. There is something important to remember from last week. There is a difference between filling and baptism. We are baptized only once. We may experience many fillings. The fillings may involve these several attributes, but the baptism makes them a permanent part of your service for the Lord. From time to time, the Spirit may determine that you need a specific ability, and so he will fill you with that ability. He does this not because you're worthy, but because you can glorify God and fulfill his purpose for your life at this time. We spent several months studying about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our adult Sunday school class. We learned that when a person gets saved, that the Spirit gives them at least one spiritual gift to be used in their service to the church. It could be said that the Spirit forms the church by baptizing all believers into the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, we read, 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many and one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit." Not only does the Spirit baptize all believers into the body of Christ, as we have just read, but he goes much further by imparting gifts for service to every member of the body. These gifts are not always the same. And one of the things that we learned in our Sunday school class was that the gifts are for service and we don't all have the same service to the body. There are times when different parts of the body require different gifts. For example, Faye Wood just had a hip replacement. She is a part of this body and not all of us need hip replacements. But Faye needed a replacement and God arranged for it to be done, so that she could continue to serve in the capacity that he has called her to serve. We all have different needs, and God is able to supply those needs. Sometimes he just chooses not to provide a replacement because he has a different plan for us. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. What is God's plan for you? The Spirit also guides us in the service that he wants us to provide to the Lord. It is not God's will that we all be preachers or secretaries or businessmen. God has a particular purpose for each of you. There may even be things that you would like to do for God, but those things are not what he has planned for you. There are times when he stops us from doing what we want in exchange for what he wants. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are good examples of this working of the Holy Spirit. They had been preaching and teaching in Asia, and they wanted to go deeper into Asia, but God wanted them to work somewhere else. We read about this in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. That's Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Do you see how God directed those men through the Holy Spirit? And he wants to direct us in the same way sometimes. Have you ever attempted a particular thing for God and he wouldn't let you do it? That's what men ran into when they couldn't go to Asia. This is important that we listen to the Holy Spirit when we attempt to serve our Lord. There was a lady in Scotland that we ministered to, and one of her favorite sayings was, "Mind the checks, mind the checks." She was talking about the Holy Spirit, listening to him and taking note when he would stop us from doing something or going in a particular direction. The Holy Spirit is the source of power for service, as indicated by several scriptures. Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That was Acts 1:8. In Acts 2:4, we read, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then finally in 1 Corinthians 2:3-5, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Folks, that's an awfully important statement he made, that our wisdom should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Could you ever consider Paul a man of weakness? Yet here he was, not operating in his own strength, but in the power of God. For that is what the Holy Spirit is. He is the power of God in us. That is why Jesus promised the disciples that they would receive power after the Holy Ghost would come upon them. When the Holy Spirit came upon you, you were given power to use for God's purpose. The Holy Spirit binds us together so that we can glorify God here on earth. And if you're going to be successful in serving the Lord, then you must have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You should not be trying to serve God in your own strength. Have you ever thought about why we seem to be so close as a church family? It's because of the Holy Spirit and His ministry to each of us. First, He causes us to love each other as well as to love God. Next, He abides in a group of us, and we corporately become God's temple in that place. Paul talks about it again, writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Paul was just a way that he was telling us we need to be, not only do we need to be holy, we are holy if we belong to God and Jesus Christ. I trust that you all see that without the Holy Spirit as a part of us, that we are nothing and we can accomplish nothing of eternal consequences for the Lord. This has been a difficult time for the Lord's people, and we've had to make some sacrifices. Some of those sacrifices have involved giving up some of our constitutionally supported activities. For some, they were gaining what they had wanted, control over the people. For others, it was the accomplishing of their agenda. Jesus told us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to do what Jesus said. Next week, we're going to resume our regular church services for all of you who are not in any way sick or ill. We're going to meet at 9:30 for Sunday school, at 11 for morning worship service, and at 6 p.m. for the evening service. It would be good for you if you wore a mask for protection. We're going to socially distance as best we can. We're also going to take the temperature of anyone before they enter or are allowed to enter the building. Anyone with a temperature of 100 or more will not be permitted to enter the church. These steps are not to be mean, but are an application of 1 Corinthians 14:40. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently or appropriately and in order on time." An important part of our worship of God is our fellowship with each other. If you are inclined to hug, that's your prerogative. If the other person wants a hug. But I would suggest that we be conservative for the first few weeks. I love you all, and I'm looking forward to our lives returning to normal, if there is a normal. I am praying that it will not be a new normal. Father, we are so grateful that you gave us a comforter. We call him the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And Father, he is ministering to our needs at this time. May we follow his leading. May we accept his power to serve you. Father, may we do the things you would have us to do because he leads us there. He prepares us, he equips us, and then, Father, he empowers us. Is anything too hard for God? And the answer to that question was no. Is anything too hard for the Holy Spirit? And again, he is God, and the answer is no. So, Father, help us to know him, to use him in the way that you would have us relate to him. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.